21, but we really will be dealing with Genesis chapter 32, where the story comes from about old Jacob. Old Jacob. Y'all remember old Jacob? We kind of studied a little bit about him last Wednesday night, and he tricked his brother out of his birthrights. He comes down to the old man now, getting ready to die. And I thought about this, learning to lean. Asked Brother Orville to sing that song, Learning to Lean, because we put ourselves in the life of this man. Is what you do as you read the Bible. Put yourself in the Bible times and look at this man's life, old Jacob, in our life. And Jacob lived to be a right old man, but really learning to lean on Jesus, or learning to lean on the Lord. You see, all of his life that God was working with him. For us to learn our total and complete dependence is not on self. A lesson that we all are learning as we're going through this life, that our dependency is not on self. God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Aren't you glad? I ain't what I ought to be. I ain't what I used to be, which that's no word. You know, you can't say ain't. I ain't what I ought to be. Thank God for what I'm going to be. Whew. What I'm going to be. Hebrews 11:21, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiping, leaning upon his top of his staff. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the precious word, the insight, Lord, that the illumination of Holy Spirit will give us and guide us, each and every one of us, the light that we need. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that you are still working on us as you said that you would, to make us what you'd like for us to be in Christ Jesus. Father, we know and we know that you understand that we're just made from clay. And it takes all of our life sometimes to bring us to a point that where you'd have us to be. Jacob learned this lesson. Father, we all, as we go through the lessons of life, is one of the greatest lessons to learn, that our dependency do not come from self, but it comes from the Lord. Help us, Father, to understand this. It would help us so much. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had began a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. That's what old Jacob had to learn. God's working on you and he's working on me. And I thank the Lord, it says in that verse of Scripture, that he will not stop until we are completely dependent upon him and not self. Now, most of us have reached a point sometimes in our life, and we will, that maybe it's through sicknesses. And sometimes it's through different difficulties and crises. Maybe when we down and out our sick bed, or all of us have seen or come to the point, probably, or we will come to a point that we need to learn that all we need is Jesus. And that's what learning to lean is all about. Learning to lean on Jesus. And maybe to all of our life, that God is going to bring us, every one of us, to a point. And old Jacob, it was later in his life, maybe later in all of our life, that he's going to bring you and he's going to bring me to a point that I will not be myself sufficient, but I will understand that I have to depend on Jesus Christ. It might be when I'm trying to take my last breath. It might be when a sickness and doctor says we can't do nothing else for him. It might be some great crisis that I have to go through. But there will be a time. There'll be a time for you that God's working on us to bring us to this point, to let us know that we're not self-sufficient in ourselves, but we must depend on God, learning to lean on Jesus. We think we're self-sufficient so many times, and four minute days now, it's going to be school and graduation time, and you know, people are going to be telling our young people, you know, be self-sufficient. But spiritually self-sufficient is not a virtue, but it is a vice. And Jacob had to learn this, and so will we, that we are not dependent upon ourselves, but we're dependent upon Almighty God. You remember Muhammad Ali is on an airplane, and the steward said, "Hey, Ali, buckle up your seatbelt. We're fixing to take off." He says, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She says, "Superman don't need no airplane. Buckle up your seatbelt." He said, "I'm self-sufficient." But I'm going to tell you, he was not self-sufficient, and I'm going to tell you, we're not either. It's of the Lord Jesus Christ that we must depend on. And he's bringing us to this point. So if we look at Joseph's life and look at our life, maybe we can understand this. Now, Jacob was always a man, I keep saying Joseph, always a man that was trying to rig things. Now, he had deceived his father. You know, y'all know the story about him. I won't have to go into that, but I'm going to read several verses of Scripture in Genesis chapter 32. But he deceived his father and tricked his own brother Esau for the birthrights over a bowl of stew. And then Esau, his brother, was going to kill him. He had to flee. I covered a little bit of this last Wednesday night to Uncle Laban. His mother never saw him no more as he fled the country. And he stayed with Uncle Laban for 20 years. He had to go through the school of hard knocks. Now, Uncle Laban, for 20 years, he worked for him. And Uncle Laban was like him. He kind of cheated him, beat him out every time he could for all the trickery done. Remember, he worked 7 years, and he wanted to marry Rachel, and he worked 7 years. And Leah was his oldest girl, and he worked 7 years, and you know what happened? He thought he was marrying Jacob. He married Leah, and he married the wrong woman. Heard that before, haven't we? He had to work another 7 years for Rachel. Another 7 years. But you know, he said it would seem like just a few days because he loved her so much. But Jacob served 14 years just for the two daughters, but he served his uncle another 6 years for all the cattle and all that he had wound up with. Changed his wages several times, keep giving him a cut and a cut and a cut. I mean, he was just like old Jacob. He was a swindler. But God, in those 20 years, it come time for, he says, okay, now. God spoke to Jacob. He says, all right, get back to thy homeland and take all you got with you and get back. So old Jacob starts out and he leaves Uncle Laban. And you know the story. Uncle Laban was going to get him, you know. And Rachel stole the gods from him, his golden gods, and I tell you, Uncle Jacob was going to get him, and God said, don't hurt this man. As he started back, going back to his homeland, Esau, here he comes now, and he meets him. Esau's coming to meet him. Remember what he said, I'm going to kill him. As soon as my daddy dies, I'm going to kill that rascal for what he'd done to me. Now, God has used his situation to cause old Jacob to grow and to cease his dependence upon himself and depend upon God, just like he's going to use situations in our life, and he has and will. Genesis chapter 32, why would God, you know, say to old Jacob, worship and lean upon his staff? Because he taught him a lesson, and he will teach us a lesson also to every one of us. In Jacob's life, we see three things, and I looked at this. You know, God will protect you, but he will not pamper you. Look at his life now. God will hurt you, but he will not harm you. God will break you, but he desires to bless you. That's what I got out of this man's life. For each and every one of us. Start with God will protect you, but he will not pamper you. Now, Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 through 3, and it starts off. He's on his way back now. And Jacob went on his way, and the angel of the Lord met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of this place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, and to the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Now, of angel of the Lord, he's going back now with all of his family, all of his herd, everything, and he had an angel escort. He realized now for 20 years that he had been protected and been took care of. The angel escort. Now, he's not totally right with God. Remember this now. He's not totally right with God. But an angel is still watching over him, and he's still protecting him. Now, remember now, whenever you first got saved, and most of us, including myself, strays away from the Lord a little. We get out of the wheel. We get out of fellowship with God. But aren't you glad as you look at this man's life that God still watched over you, still watching over you, and he still protects you even when you're out of fellowship with God, as he did this man do. As you look back over his life, you see this. Jacob was a very immature Christian at that time, we'd call him, out of fellowship with God, but God protected him. Angel protects you and I whenever we don't even deserve it. He didn't even deserve it. But you know that we have been protected so many times that we're not even aware of it, that the angel of the Lord has protected us when we didn't even deserve it. Why does he do that? Look back in your life. You see, the angels are minister spirits to each and every one of us. I don't know how many angels they are, but there's enough. And you know, all through your life, you've had ministering angels to protect you. Would you say that you've had some close calls in your life or you'd be dead right now? I've had some very, very close calls. I remember I worked at railroad at night, and I was what they call building trains. The tracks are about 8 foot apart, and they were shoving these trains down by you at night, and they go by, and you don't even hear them. This car, now, that's no engine, because they throw them down there like Brother Darrell knows and Brother Jimmy. They just throw them down there, and we're down there working on, you know, and you don't supposed to get on that track or because they call it a live track. They go by, but you know, you step over it, and you don't even hear them. And there's some cars that come by me one night, shoo, and I just stepped like this right here and picked up something. They didn't know what I had to tell me that was of the Lord, because another second, if I hadn't stepped away, I would have been dead. There was no way I would escape that. And you know what? I have to tell me what it was. I know what it was. I had an angel protecting me right then. God didn't want to, he didn't want to take me out of this world. That's the reason I'm here today. And the reason you're here today. We've had angel protecting us. And that's what old Jacob saw. But you know, he saw two hosts. He saw his brother Esau coming with a great vast bunch of men. But he also saw this angel escort also that protected him. God was protecting him, but he didn't pamper him, as we'll see. Let him go through some great needs. Now, God may let you go through some great needs and maybe some great wants and also some great difficulties. Now, Jacob's father-in-law, you know, Uncle Laban, now, he wanted to know how to deal with this man because he was a very tricky man. Well, Genesis chapter 31 and 24, it also says, and God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, neither good or bad. You better be careful. Don't mess with him. Don't do anything bad for him, but also don't help him. That's how you deal with him. That's what God said for him to do, and we find out that's what he done. God didn't said, don't hurt him, and you don't help him. The man was out of fellowship with God. He is in danger. God did not remove him out of his difficult situation he was facing. Why? Because he wanted him to learn a lesson. Esau was coming with 400 armed men after this rascal. Genesis 32, 4 through 6. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. He's coming now. Here comes Jacob. The servant Jacob said, thou, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses and flocks and manservants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord, that's so Esau, that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messenger returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he come to meet thee, and 400 men with him. You see, we find out 400 men are coming. Now, what old Jacob done was try flattery. Remember, he's self-sufficient like we are. We think we can handle a situation, right? Well, he tries flattery in this. I call him Lord. Esau, Lord, and maybe I'll find grace in his sight. So he tried flattery. He tried to send him presents and gifts. And we'll find out he gave him gifts after gifts after gift. And he tried that strategy. He divided up everything and he said to the servant, you just carry this gift with him and just give him this gift. It's wave after wave after wave of these gifts. He tried flattery, you know, called him Lord. Then he also tried strategy in verses 7 through 9. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and his flocks and herds and his camels, and he had two bands of them. And he said, Esau, come to one of my companies and smite it. Then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father, he begins to pray now of Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith to me, return unto thy country and to thy kinsmen, and I will deal with thee there. So what's happening is now he divides up all his people, two companies. He said, now we're going to go this direction. Now if Esau goes against this company, this other company, y'all flee away and y'all might get a chance to escape. Or they come after this one, y'all might get a chance to escape. So he has this strategy that he might find that he might get out of it. And also after the last resort, he prays, oh my God. I said, that sounds like I be. After I tried everything else, you know, we need to pray about this. Then we'll pray, oh my God. Prayer was not his first thought. It was his last resort. As I said, a lot of times, look like we need to pray about it. Well, that ought to be our first resort, not our last resort. In verse 13 it says now, and he lodged there that same night, and he took of that which came to his hands a present for Esau his brother, to give him wave after wave after wave of gift, trying to appease his brother because he was in hot water. His brother was after his life. Verse 20, and saying ye moreover, brother, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with these presents that go before me, and afterward I will see his face, provisionally he may accept me. He tried strategy, he tried flattery, he tried appeasement, he tried everything he could, because see, he was still in control, still self-centered, self-deficiency. So we find God will protect you, but he will not pamper you, and he didn't pamper him. But also we find out something else, God will hurt you, but it will not harm you. What are you saying, preacher? Oh, Jacob, now he's alone, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Oh, Jacob's alone now. Did you know the flesh don't like to be alone? We really don't. Let me ask you a question. When you go into a motel room, you ever offer, what's just about the first thing you do? Most of the time we go in and turn the television on. A lot of times at night you go into your house, what do? You might turn the light on, but pretty soon you're going to turn the television on. See, learning to lean. We don't want to be alone where God gets alone. He brought this man where he could be alone, God, him and God. And like I said, someday you know that you're going to be alone with God. There's nobody, I got it pictured out, there's nobody going to be able to help me. One of these days I'm going to be alone with God. As I said, you know, I might be an older man than I am now. It might be in a hospital room when your family's been there with you hours after hours and they can't stay no longer with you. And you know what? They got to go on home or they got to get some sleep. And there you are in that room and the nurses and the doctors, they can't stay with you. And you're alone in the hospital or in that nursing home or even on your own bed. And there's nobody with you. God's going to bring you apart to a place, a point to a place where you're alone with God. And that just may be the point in your life where God can use you more than any other time. And you depend just on God. See, there was a man wrestling with him, a wrestling match. And he wanted to deliver old Jacob from self-sufficiency as he does us. Verse 25 and 26, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 26 says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Touched the hollow of his thigh, and was out of joint. What's the most important to a wrestler at his thigh, his legs. You get a wrestler off his feet and his legs, and you got him whipped. Jacob now, he can't even run. He can't even run now. At least whenever we say after him, he said, well, I can run. I'll get away from him, and I'll run. Now he can't even run. You see what he's going to do? God's touching everything. No hope now except, oh, Lord. As I said, God brings us to this place. You know, I said that, you know, God will hurt you, but he won't harm you. How do you explain that? Well, most of us are old enough at our age. My daddy, he hurt me, but it never harmed me. You remember your daddy getting a hold of you? He had hurt you, but you see, it never harmed me. And I tell you like this is. I had a doctor down in Jacksonville. He cut me from my throat all the way down here. He hurt me, but it didn't harm me. I had another doctor. I reckon what you want to call it, a collection of stones. And that doctor cut me, and he hurt me, but it didn't harm me. That's the way God will deal with you. He'll hurt you if he has to, but he won't harm you. That's what he done to old Jacob. That's what he done to old Jacob. He'll break you, but he really desires to bless you. Learning this lesson, verse 27 says, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Means con artist. Verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Your name now is called Prince. Verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, why for is thou, does thou ask what my name is? You know what it is. He says, that I might be able to bless you. And then verse 30, it says, and Jacob called the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. You know, he says, why are you doing all this? I want to bless you. You know, God's going to say to you, we're self-deficient. What's your name? Now, you know God knows our name. He said, Jacob, old schemer, old con artist. He said, what's your name? Every child of God is going to ask that. And you know, when he gets you to that point, some people might say, well, I'm just lazy. I don't support Jesus Christ. I don't support the church like I should. My name's just lazy. Or you know, you might say, you know, my name is lustful. My name's lustful. Or my name is doubt. Or my name is liar. Or my name's gossiper. Or my name is money. My name is greed. My name is self-sufficient. He's going to ask everybody, he's going to get everybody to a point. Every child of God, God's still working on us. He's going to bring us to a point and say, what's your name now? When he brings us to that point, you know my name, but what's your name? There'll be something in your life, some things in our life that God's trying to get us to see that we're not self-sufficient as we think we are. Now, Jacob was crippled that he might be crowned. He is broken that he might be blessed. And the rest of his life, he walked leaning upon his staff with a limp, with a limp. Learning to lean. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiping, leaning upon the top of his staff. And that old song that Brother Orville sung, learning to lean. Learning to lean. You know, that's what God is doing to you right now. He's teaching you a lesson. He's teaching me a lesson all through life. And he's teaching us to learn to lean on Jesus Christ, that we're not self-sufficient as we think we are. For us just to learn to lean. You know, most of the time, we throw away, as mankind, we throw away broken things. But only God uses things that's broken. You remember old Gideon, that broken vase or that broken gourd? He put that light down in it. He says, break your lantern or break your gourd. The light may shine. And he used old Gideon and that broken vase. You remember when these four men got on top of a roof and broke up the roof and let their friend down to Jesus Christ so he'd be healed? God used a broken roof. You remember the broken ship that Paul was on and it got tore all the pieces? They might learn, you know, that they depend upon God. How about that alabaster box of ointment that Mary broke to anoint Jesus Christ with? Broken alabaster box of ointment. How about the broken boy's lunch? A few pieces of bread and a few fishes that got Jesus Christ broke the bread, blessed it, and fed over 5,000. The broken bread and also the poured out wine for you and I. God only uses things that's broken. And we'll never be used of God like God intended for us to use till we learn this lesson, learning to lean. Then he breaks us and let us know that we're not self-sufficient. Now Joseph was stronger. Jacob was stronger when he was crippled, leaning upon his staff, than he ever was whenever he was whole. And for us, our same thing today. God will break us. And these three things that God's looking at our life right now. Just like old Jacob, you know, a lot of times that God may have to move down and take some things out of our life. You know, sometimes family and loved ones go on to be with the Lord and God takes some family away from us. And, you know, maybe some family that's not getting along too good and, you know, they don't see eye to eye. And, you know, some of the family members wanting to speak. You know, sometime God may take one of those family and, you know, they might bring them down to a church aisle in that casket. And it might be some other part of that family members. It looks down upon the one in the casket. And, you know, with tears might drop off on the face of that person in that casket, you know, and say, I'm sorry. But it's too late. But that person might see the joy through those tear-stained eyes better than they ever could with the sun shining. That may just be the way that some of us are, that we may see things a lot clearer through tears when God breaks us to bless us than it does whenever the sun's shining and we think we're self-sufficient and we can do it on our own. Jacob or Joseph says failures does not mean it's final. He failed a bunch of times. He was a rascal. Judge thyself, we shall not have to be judged. If we self-sufficient in life, God's going to teach us, and he will. Now, Jacob was 147 years old when he died. And you know what he says? He died worshiping the Lord. Now, you want to teach your kids something. It's very important for us to teach our kids how to live and live through Jesus Christ. But there's going to come a time for every one of us, if we outlive our kids and our grandkids, and that is to teach them how to die. I got three sons. And I try to teach them how to live for Jesus. But there's one thing left I got to teach them. I got to teach them how to die. And Jacob died worshiping the Lord. And that's the way I want to die, is worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. His last moment. Now, we've been taught by this world that we need to be self-sufficient. But you know what? God loves us too much for us to remain self-sufficient. He will not let us stay that way. The title, Learning to Lean. Can we play that song Orville just sung? Can we just play it? The more we won't ask you to sing it, but in just these few moments, if you could put it back on again. Learning to Lean. And that was my message. That's what God showed me in his life. I try to get away with it. I try to bypass this tonight I can get something else. But God kept bringing me back and bringing me back and bringing me back. If you got anything out of this lesson, that was the reason why God kept bringing me back. Because I want to bypass it. I want to go somewhere else. God wants me here. So if you don't mind, put that on for just a moment and we'll be through. We bow our head for just a few moments.